You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We are leading you up to the NFL draft. It starts next Thursday night, April 29th, goes through a Saturday. So we're getting closer and closer, and here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we're examining what I'm thinking that teams are thinking in the first round there, mock draft bonus here for you, and really looking at it from a fantasy football perspective. Yesterday we looked at the first round picks 1 through 16, what the teams on the clock are considering there, whether they're going offensive help with the skill player or a blocker, or maybe thinking defense there as the necessary needed impact here for the short and long term. We'll do that with picks 17 through 32, the second half of our first round mock here on today's show on Locked On Fantasy Football. So a special here, two-parter. We've trying to give you the NFL draft from all angles, fantasy football, as we lead into it. So good stuff yesterday. If you missed the first half, check that out. We will dive into what I feel will happen here, starting with the Raiders at 17, all the way through the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers at 32 in a moment. I do have to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, so we left off at number 17, and the Raiders are the team there, barring a trade and any issues there. And let's look at what the Raiders might do with this pick. I think defense is certainly in order here. They could look at Quiddy Pay, the edge defensive tackle from Michigan, 6'4", 272. They could look offensive line and maybe Elijah Vera Tucker there, a good offensive lineman from USC. You can play either left tackle or left guard here. So we talked about him, and he's going to the Vikings in our latest mock. The Raiders could also look at an edge rusher, but one of the Miami guys, Gregory Rousseau or Jalen Phillips there, could really be an impact player to that degree. But they also need some linebacker help, some run-stopping help. They have Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski. They spent a lot of money on them in free agency, a very limited return. And we haven't changed the Raiders pick all that much because Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker from Notre Dame, is just a great fit, whether you use him on the inside or on the outside, can play the run. Littleton, we know, is a big coverage guy. Kwiatkowski does a little bit of everything. So they need a run stopper here. So they could also look at the interior and Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle from Alabama. Quiddy Pay gives them a little bit edge inside versatility there. So all kinds of things that we need to consider with the Raiders. But defense would seem to be the order of the day. I don't think they'll go wide receiver and think of that position. Offensive line is certainly a possibility if the right player shakes out. So they could look at a Christian Darrisaw of Virginia Tech should Vera Tucker be off the board along with Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater. So all kinds of things that the Raiders could be thinking here with John Gruden and Mike Mayock. But defense seems to be the order here. I mean, they're pretty set at the skill position. You have Henry Ruggs III and Bryan Edwards there as your receivers from last year that you drafted. You got Hunter Renfrow. You got Darren Waller. He's an absolute stud. Again, offensive line could use a little bit of adjustment from Derek Carr, but your backfield now loaded with Josh Jacobs and Kenny Drake. So defense, the Raiders have teased with some playmaking ability on defense. They got some players there. I mentioned the two linebackers. You also have Cleveland Farrell and Max Crosby. They need just help making plays, and Owusu-Koramoah of Notre Dame can help them in that direction. Nothing will see them be fantasy football relevant immediately here in 2021 as they go from a different defense here. Now, the Dolphins at number 18 are interesting. We gave them a wide receiver early, so they have their eyes on Ja'Marr Chase of LSU, at number 6 overall. We ended up saying that Devontae Smith is a pretty good pick for them, as well as Jalen Waddle. So any of those receivers there early, not a bad pick for the Dolphins. You could also see them go after Penei Sewell there to help their offensive line. I think this pick is going to be defensive for the Dolphins. They could look at Owusu-Koramoah if he's still available. Kwity Paye, however, you like guys that can play multiple positions. If it's Brian Flores coming from Bill Belichick, multiple positions, versatility, and that's why Chase and Waddle are so appealing, because the inside-outside, big playability there. And again, inside-outside of Kwity Paye of Michigan. Nice size, bit of a freakish athlete. I think they can use him to the best of his abilities. A little bit of Richard Seymour, maybe, upside in this player. And Seymour, again, longtime Patriot before Brian Flores was there. But that type of player that you can get pressure on the quarterback inside-outside and really help. This Dolphins defense was an asset at times last year. I think they can improve with Flores and be that consistent defense that we target in fantasy, the way that the Patriots have been that team, taking advantage, teeing off teams. The Dolphins should be improved offensively here, on the brink of making the playoffs last year. This was their regular pick at number 18 without the trade. So again, Kwity Paye would be a good pick. So I think defense is in order and the priority here for the Raiders and Dolphins back-to-back. Washington football team is up at number 19. This is the first of your playoff teams. Now we get into from last year, the Raiders and Dolphins just on the outside. Football team made it as the champion of the NFC East, the NFC least last year with all the losing records. But Washington has a lot of buzz here. They got now Curtis Samuel in the mix to complement one Terry McLaurin. It's a lot of speed. Logan Thomas there in the passing game. They got Antonio Gibson. Pretty good array of skill talent. The one thing that they're missing is maybe that left tackle 2 years removed from Trent Williams. They made that deal with the 49ers. Well, Trent Williams turned out to be the best tackle in the game last year, rewarded with a longer-term contract even into his 30s by the 49ers. So, again, it wasn't working out. Williams was having a lot of injury issues. He wanted out of Washington. He got it. But that left a void at left tackle. You've had Jaron Christian and some other guys in the mix. You have Brandon Scherff on the interior. Not too bad. Chase Roullier. You've had some good guys blocking on the inside for Washington, especially against the run. But now you need to get better in pass protection. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick as your bridge quarterback. Maybe they'll add a quarterback here. And Washington is a team to watch, just like the Patriots, to trade up and try to get one of those quarterbacks. Maybe a little bit gun-shy Justin Fields because of the Ohio State connection and the memory of Dwayne Haskins. I know they're different style quarterbacks, but and different decision makers here, but that certainly could come into play a little bit with the way Washington looks at it. So they might be excited about Trey Lance a little bit more, so they could go out and get him. They could also look at a slot receiver like Kadarius Toney of Florida to put in between Samuel and McLaurin and really raise the level of their pass game, the short to intermediate, with some field stretching ability there to complement to what Thomas can do there in the middle of the field. So that would be a good way to go. So I think Washington is going to lean offense. Their defense is pretty good, led by number 2 overall pick from last year, 2020, Chase Young. He's a kind of a change the course of that defense. They've made some good improvements there in the secondary, pretty underrated on the back end of their pass defense. So team that can make a lot of plays. They got to solidify their blocking. Christian Darrisaw, Virginia Tech, makes a lot of sense if they don't go wide receiver. Speaking of wide receiver, that's a good direction for the Bears if they don't look at offensive tackle either. So it's kind of interesting. These two teams have similar needs, including quarterback. Would the Bears make an aggressive move? Well, the further down you are in the draft, the harder it is to move up because you have to give the right draft capital in return. So the Bears might be out of luck, especially with Washington and New England there stacked. So Kadarius Toney could help the Bears as well. 5'11", 190. Pretty good size for a slot receiver, can stretch the field. They don't really love Anthony Miller. They do love Darnell Mooney, and Allen Robinson's back in the field for one more year. Toney could also develop into being maybe a regular go-to guy here, wherever their quarterback is in 2022. If they move on from Robinson right now, the bridge quarterback is Andy Dalton. So you bring in Toney, maybe you might have your eyes on Kyle Trask in the second round. Then you have two Florida Gators, some instant equity and connection there that could develop here. But the Bears could also look at offensive line help. They could use some blocking, both for the passing and the running games here. They did a good job last year to help David Montgomery a little bit. But you'd like to see them add a little bit beef there, especially a tackle or guard, their right tackle or interior to help in that sense for the Bears. So that could be a good pick. And Darrisaw could be a target or another player, an offensive lineman. So something to watch for there. But Toney is a pretty good pick for the Bears at number 20 to give them some playmaking ability. We'll talk about one more team here in the first round before we take our break for our second segment, and we'll get through all the picks here. So we'll go through five in this segment, six, and then go back with five, and we'll finish up with 16 picks in the second half of the first round. The Colts are on the clock at number 21. Now, with the Colts, it's a team that has some needs here. And the immediate need right now is offensive tackle. They brought Carson Wentz in the trade with the Eagles. T.Y. Hilton's back in the mix. They got Michael Pittman and Zach Pascal and hopefully a healthy Paris Campbell. They do still have tight end options, moving on from Trey Burton with Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox. So offensive tackle seems to be a concern here for Nick Sirianni as he creates a more competitive atmosphere there. They lost Anthony Costanzo to retirement. So Sam Cosmi of Texas, he would be a good fit. I think Darisaw would be a good fit. Very similar size players. Yeah, a little bit of a grinder, just very productive Cosmi here in that Costanzo mold, the same type of size, can hold down left tackle. Now, he's not going to blow you away with anything that you say, okay, this is something that, oh, he's just a terrific athlete. No, you're going to look at the fundamentals, the effort, and everything he does that helps him be productive and very efficient with his blocking here. So Samuel Cosmi kind of fits with what the Colts want there, but so does Darisaw to some degree. But that would make a lot of sense. You got to address tackle. You want to keep your offensive line somewhat intact. You have Quentin Nelson. You got Kelly there, Ryan Kelly at center. So you've got some nice youth and strength. And Nelson, one of the best offensive linemen at any position in the game here. You got to shore up your pass protection a little bit after losing Costanzo. They were getting a little long on the tooth anyway with him, with the concussions and all the wear and tear he had taken. So that's a very good target here for the Colts, and that will help certainly Carson Wentz and the running game be a lot more productive here for fantasy football purposes. All right, so there's a look at picks 17 through 21. In our next segment, we'll look there at picks 22 through 27. I do have to tell you more about Rock Auto. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for other important things like mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Just go to rockauto.com. Just take a fuel pump assembly from Delphi FG1456 for the Honda Odyssey 2005 to 2010. $353.99 at a big chain store like Advance Auto Parts. You'll find that exact same part for $216.79 at rockauto.com. So check that out there for you. And chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see the parts available for your vehicle and choose all the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. You'll have find everything there at rockauto.com from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, and even new carpet. Whether you're a classic driver or you're a daily driver, get everything you need in Fusey Clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, as I mentioned, you can't beat this. The prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now to save and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. You can find all that at rockauto.com, a family business that's been around for a long time, and they're going to take care of you well with whatever auto parts you need. We'll be right back here to break down the Tennessee Titans pick, starting there at number 22 overall, first round. All right, let's continue the show here in a moment. We are talking draft here, and it's an exciting time all across the Locked On Podcast Network. We're partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft 2021 live. Get inside analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft, April 29th, that's next Thursday night, through May 1st, that's Saturday all day. Here at Locked On Fantasy Football, we'll continue to break down the pre-draft stuff that you need to know. And, of course, we'll have a lot of post-draft coverage as well. Reaction to all the picks. Similarly, in the first round, we'll have that for you there next week as soon as they happen. So I'm excited about that for a Mega Friday show coming at you post-first round a week and a day from now. The Tennessee Titans have a big decision here. They got to upgrade right tackle. They had Dennis Kelly in there, lost Jack Conklin a couple off seasons ago. They could upgrade. They have Taylor Lewan still plugging away at a high-level left tackle, decent interior, but they have to upgrade there as well. So this is the bread and butter. They lost Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. We're still going to be a running team inside power with Derrick Henry. Got to control that. Tavon Jenkins from Oklahoma State, he's the prototypical right tackle. So the Bears could be looking at him. The Titans could also look for some secondary help if the thing lines here. They could also use some edge rush help, but we know they've invested a little bit in Harold Landry and some picks like that, but lost J.D. Von Clowney. He was a disappointment last year anyway in the mix for Mike Vrabel. So certainly offensive tackle, defensive pass rush here are ways the Titans can look at this pick. So, again, Tavon Jenkins would be a good pick there. Really pleased Derrick Henry for the most part. I think wide receiver, they could be in the mix for Kadarius Toney if he's around as well. They lost Adam Humphries there, moved on from him in free agency. And you also said goodbye to Corey Davis. So you could get some wide receiver help. Toney could help in a lot of ways playing off A.J. Brown. But wide receiver might be a good value for the Titans later in the draft. Well, attacking offensive line might be the best situation here for them at number 22 overall in the first round. Now, the New York Jets have a tough decision here. Now, we know at number two, they're pretty much going to take Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU. Do they get him some offensive help here? The Jets, speaking of Corey Davis, they're the team who signed him. They still have Jameson Crowder around in that passing game. Denzel Mims, they have higher expectations. The two tight ends are there, but big boys at running back were Tevin Coleman, the former 49er, reuniting with Robert Saleh, and Mike LaFleur is their best choice, but they also have just nobody else there at running back. So do they go after the top running back on the board overall, Najee Harris, get a workhorse here, break glass for that player, knowing the Steelers are looming there at number 24? Or do they go defense? Do they go an edge rusher? I think that's not a bad way to go for the Jets as they rebuild their pass rush here. So a lot of options. Azeez Ojulari of Georgia. You got Jason Owe of Penn State that you can look at. Again, one of the two Miami guys, if they're on the board, Russo or Jalen Phillips. I think most of those guys from Miami, Russo, Jalen Phillips, and Quincy Roche, are more 3-4 type guys. The Jets making transition to Robert Saleh and that four-man front. So again, in that front, I would say OA could be very successful, as well as Joseph Osai of Texas. So they could look at one of those players as well. But I have them taking J.C. Horn. The last name might sound familiar there to you. The son of Joe Horn. Remember him? Cell phone and New Orleans Saints was once a very productive fantasy football receiver. Or one point, one of the best there that you could trust in your lineups week in and week out back in the day. Well, J.C., he's got some special qualities just on the other side of the ball, some ball-hawking ability. So the Jets' defense could rapidly improve here. I'm not saying we're going to invest in them as a starter here in 2021, but certainly Robert Saleh has a good history with the 49ers. He can turn around this team with some pass defense help, either in the form of edge rush or corner, but we're definitely going to watch out for running back. Speaking of running back, that's who I have the Pittsburgh Steelers taking. Now, I did a recent mock draft of trades at SportingNews.com. I had them trade down to number 32 with the Buccaneers and still get a running back, Najee Harris or Travis Etienne of Clemson. The Steelers need Najee Harris. They cleared the decks to James Conner. Benny Snell is the rest remaining back. Conner moved on to the Cardinals. Just a guy there. Didn't get a big deal. So Cardinals were lukewarm on him. They should be in the market for running back. The Steelers should definitely be in the market for running back. The question is, do they pull the trigger now? I think if Tavon Jenkins is off the board and a corner they like is not available, then they should lean towards running back. I think Tavon Jenkins could be perfect for them as a blocker. I think it's close between Harris and Etienne, who could fit well. I think Harris gives them that solid rock between the tackles that they can use early downs. Etienne gives their passing game a little bit more life after the catch, which would help them with Ben Roethlisberger, the arm issues there. Harris would help you more traditionally, found a way. But we've talked about this before with whoever lands to the Steelers here as a first or second round pick at running back, he's going to have a big role right away. We think, I mean, Benny Snell, Jalen Samuels, some of these other guys that they've tried to plug in the post Le'Veon Bell era, other than James Conner, haven't worked out so well. So I think they like one guy to touch the ball consistently here. You look back to Mike Tomlin's history when he kind of has an influence over his offensive coordinators. When Le'Veon Bell went down, what happened? D'Angelo Williams got a high volume when Bell moved on. Would you see James Conner get a high volume? So ideally, they don't want to be a committee. They want a guy that can handle all three roles, give them a little bit more disguise from down to down in their offense. So Najee Harris or Travis Etienne would really work for the Steelers, and we would be immediately interested in that player as a RB2 with a bullet here in the draft. The Jaguars, they would definitely take their quarterback at number one overall with Trevor Lawrence. They got a second pick here, still reaping the benefits of the Jalen Ramsey trade at number 25 overall. Christian Barmore, I liked him a lot in the college football playoff. Made a lot of plays, kind of boosted his stock again. So it's kind of leveled off here, but defensive tackle, not necessarily the strongest position in his class after Marvin Wilson kind of faded there in his senior year for Florida State. So you look at Barmore, certainly very disruptive, one of those quick guys that can get upfield, make a lot of plays. Jaguars need that presence inside in their defense. They got Josh Allen, not the quarterback, but they drafted him from the edge. They could look at edge here. They could look at corner. Speaking of Ramsey and trying to still rebuild that secondary here, safety is a consideration, but I think the Jaguars might do that early in the second round to get some playmakers. So defense is going to be key for the Jaguars once they get past Lawrence and maybe a few more tweaks. We mentioned tight end could be a play here for the Jaguars at some point, but 25 is a little tough. So I think they'll go with the defensive player that can help disrupt things the most. Christian Barmore right there, as well as Ojulari and some of the other pass rushers that they could look at 25. At number 26, this pick might be in flux for the Browns. They did sign J.D. Von Clowney. Azeez Ojulari would be a good fit in their scheme here with Joe Woods on the second level. So he'd be more a linebacker, where I think Clowney would maybe go back to the 4-3 and help Myles Garrett a little bit more in a hybrid role. I think they could still use some linebacker help. They have pretty good safeties and corners, and corner could be a consideration, but they do have Denzel Ward here, Greedy Williams returning. So there's some promise there for the Browns, as well as now Clowney in the mix up front. So Browns could go a different direction. They could look at Christian Barmore, certainly here in the first round, get some disruption inside, and really come out strong here with Garrett and Barmore, and Porter Gustin. You got Clowney now in the mix. Be better against the run, but also be disruptive against pass. So they could look at Barmore. They could look at just a traditional edge, but I think that's less of a situation here than Ojulari. So Ojulari's consideration. You look at Barmore, I think offensive line, they're pretty good. So the Browns also in position to trade down. They are not pressing for any needs, so a team that could certainly trade down if a team like the Buccaneers, Chiefs, 31-32, wanted to make a move up the board, or you have the Packers and Saints like a particular player, they can slide up here to this pick. And that, I think that also goes for the Jaguars, one pick earlier at 25. But Browns, I think, would lean defense still, even with the Clowney signing at number 26. The Baltimore Ravens should be leaning defense. I think one of the Miami players would do really well. So whoever's available here, we gave Gregory Russo to the Cardinals. I think Russo and Phillips, Jalen Phillips has maybe passed Russo a little bit. Russo opted out last year while Phillips had a chance to boost his stock with the season and offseason. So that is really shown here. So I think the Ravens could look at both here. Keep in mind, Russo has been trained here by Calais Campbell of the Ravens. So that kind of helps. He has an in there. Phillips is also pretty special. Reminds them of Terrell Suggs a little bit at 6'5", 266. They got gutted. Remember, Matthew Judon left. Their pass rush is not the same here. So the Ravens need to kind of keep that up to keep up their defensive reputation in both reality and fantasy. Offensively, they could look at Tony to replace Willie Snead in the slot if he's available. I don't think there's any receivers that make sense, or think about tight end, certainly with Mark Andrews in the mix. Running back, not going to be a consideration with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. So you think defense is the order of the day, front seven, particularly pass rush for the Ravens. I'm going to have great interest with their pick here in the first round. A team that, again, had some promise and could go up here with a defensive immediate impact player. We'll get into the final five picks in our final segment. I do have to remind you that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all our sports action. Football is over for now, but NBA, MLB, and the NHL are in full swing. NBA and NHL getting towards the playoffs. Don't forget about award shows. BetOnline covers those for you on TV. We have the big Academy Awards coming to really put the cap on Oscar season here before the draft. So a lot of good betting action here over the next week, starting on Sunday with the Oscars being handed out. You can also bet on other TV shows and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. This is the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Just head to the website, use your mobile device there to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKDOWN. Again, promo code LOCKDOWN to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline. Check it out, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be right back here to wrap up our mock draft analysis, starting with the Saints at pick number 28 and finishing with the Buccaneers, Super Bowl champs, at 32. All right, so we do have bookend NFC South teams to close our mock draft here analysis heading into the draft. And we've been doing a lot of mock drafting and analysis here. Well, it's all across the network. It's contagious. Today through the 26th, their sixth episode, The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCanfora, and Brian Baldinger, are local experts for every team, making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. All right, so the New Orleans Saints are on the clock next in our mock draft. Now, they should be looking for an edge rusher. Who do they like the most here? We'll see. They could also use some cornerback help. They said goodbye to Janoris Jenkins in their secondary. They could also look safety. Marcus Williams back on the franchise tag, but you have Trayvon Morrig of TCU that they could look at. J.C. Horn, obviously with the family connection to Joe and the former Saint, has appeal. They've had some conversations with him as well. But Joseph Osai, I think it could fit them really well from Texas, 6'3", 245, more traditional end here. They lost Trey Hendrickson in free agency. So a lot of edge options for the Saints. They can make a lot work in Dennis Allen, not traditionally anyone with a 4-3 or 3-4. So they could look at one of the Miami guys. They could look at Jason Owe from Penn State. It's one of those freakish players. Quiddy Pay, if he was around, they would think about him as well because they lost Malcolm Brown there. The defensive line had to make some cuts with their salary cap issue. So I think the Saints probably lean toward defense here. They got their quarterback situation between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston that has to play out. Receiver is an option here. They're kind of gutted without Emmanuel Sanders. I think they could also target that player later. I don't know if they're going to go for a Terrace Marshall here from in-state at LSU. They could look at him as a field stretcher here. So that's the way they might consider it. They're not going to sort of look at running back, tight end. They got Adam Trautman there from Dayton to take over from Jared Cook here going forward. So I think defense makes a lot of sense for the Saints here. They could look at offensive line if they want to do one little stash there for the future. But I do like Osai fitting their scheme very well here with Dennis Allen and having an impact here and helping the Saints maybe be fantasy football relevant with some playmakers to complement Cameron Jordan. Right now I have the Packers taking Jalen Mayfield, an offensive tackle from Michigan. I could also see them go after Terrace Marshall from LSU as a wide receiver. Maybe they would look at Tony if he drops a little bit in the draft. But Jalen Mayfield makes a lot of sense. They lost Brian Bulaga. They tried to do the Rick Wagner combination, Billy Turner there last year. Didn't quite work out. They were studly at left tackle with David Bakhtiari. They lost Corey Linsley, so an interior offensive lineman could be in the works as well to keep their strength intact at some point. Might be a little bit early here to go in that direction. So Jalen Mayfield, not a bad target, as well as a wide receiver. An edge rusher could also come into play here. They do have the two guys, Preston Smith and Zadarius Smith, but they got to get a little bit better on the second level, some more versatility. Depth, both those guys are getting a little older, some injuries and wear developing there. So certainly could look at corner, could look at edge rusher. If they go defensively, could look at wide receiver offensively here. But Jalen Mayfield is a pretty good pick here as well for them at 29 overall if they should go in their direction for the offensive line, but a lot to look at there. The next pick is the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Buffalo Bills could go in three different directions to me. They could look at a running back as well, so they could trade up and go get Najee Harris if they think he's a special back they need to put their offense over their top versus sticking with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss and trying to have that mess in the backfield, which has been very limited here as later on picks. They could splurge a little bit knowing that Harris or Etienne, if trade up for Harris or stay put here for Harris or settle for Etienne here could be special. So something to look out there. I don't think they need much help with wide receiver. Offensive line certainly in the interior could be help for the Bills as they try to upgrade their running game in that sense to complement Josh Allen, the quarterback. And there's a lot of things the Bills can consider. They could also take a corner, such as Greg Newsome, too, of Northwestern, and solidify their situation there to complement Tre'Davious White and some of the other players they have that are more slot-oriented to help on the inside, but maybe need one more bigger outside presence. But I have them taking Jason Owe. I like him right now. If they stay put and they don't move up for running back or they're not going in that direction, 6'5", 257 from Penn State, not a bad guy that you can put in their style of offense, 4-3. I think Owe does fit better in a 4-3. They do have Jerry Hughes, but need some little extra help here to rush the passer here. So the Bills going for a edge rusher makes a lot of sense, as well as corner, running back, and interior offensive line. All those three are on the table for the Bills. So tough team to read here late, and that's usually the case because these teams don't have any major needs. They're the better teams in the league, and they're just looking for the guy that fits best with what they do and has the best value potentially across the board at the position. Now, the Chiefs, I mentioned Greg Newsome. I like him, Northwestern guy. I obviously am tuned in to what they do. 6'0", 192, good size on the outside. He got some very good depth on the inside, Tyrann Mathieu and all that. They got Legarius Sneed and some other players that are good in covering there. But Bashaud Breeland, they need a bit of a replacement for him. So Greg Newsome made a lot of plays on the ball. Just instinctual, smart corner. Can fit the Steve Spagnuolo defense on the back end pretty well here. So I do like a corner for the Chiefs. They could also look at an edge rusher here at 31. Would not surprise me there to get some depth here behind Frank Clark. You have Chris Jones and disrupting things inside, but a little bit more edge help would help. So I would expect the Chiefs, after taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a bit of a luxury pick at number 32 overall, at running back last year, they'll look here at defense first, either edge rusher or corner. They could sort of look at wide receiver. Terrace Marshall would also be a good fit for them here. Tony, if he falls a little bit, I know Tony's a little bit redundant with Tyreek Hill playing the slot. They do like Mecole Hardman, so I think they would maybe table wide receiver to a later round here to attack a position need in the pass defense, and Greg Newsome is the pick over an edge rusher. Finally, I like the Buccaneers to go after a defensive tackle here. There's a lot of positions targeting them, but Vita Vea could be a free agent here pretty soon, and Ndamukong Suh is 34. He's back for one more year. That would seem the biggest position of need to keep this team intact if you're looking at a two more additional year window here with Tom Brady. That would say maybe a stash there. You could look at a situational edge rusher, so you could look at Carlos Basham Jr. One of the Miami Hurricanes falls here. That would be a pick that they could consider there with the selection for the Buccaneers. So a lot of different ways they could go. But defensive tackle seems to make sense. I like Levi Onwuzurike. If Christian Barmore is off the board here at this point for 32, or the Bucs don't trade up to get him, be disruptive. You can replace Sue. You can maybe be Vita Vea's anchor there at some point, complement him up front of this defense. It's been pretty intact for Todd Bowles. So a lot of things you can do up front here with Onwuzurike or Barmore to really disrupt. I think Barmore would be a little bit more ideal because he comes from a similar front there from Alabama. Onwuzurike can have similar impact here, and not a bad pick to look at if they stay put. I think running back is less of a consideration after they brought back Leonard Fournette and Gio Bernard here. The Bucs also a candidate to trade up or trade down in this draft with no pressing needs and being the last entry point here for the first round. So there you have it. There's a look at picks 17 through 32, what the teams are doing now, picking, what they could be considering, different positions, different players, trades, would they be in the mix? I just want to give you a comprehensive look at what all the teams might be thinking when they're on the clock here. And that's how I really think you have to do the mock draft, is get in the minds of the teams, lay out the alternatives there, because that's what you're really trying to do, is figure out what each team is trying to do. And the more options and more logic that you put behind it with their thoughts behind the selection process is important here. And that's what we do here on Locked On Fantasy Football. So our two-day mock draft breakdown is done for you. So check out the first part if you missed that. We also had our look at the top positional prospects there at quarterback, wide receiver, running back, and tight end. If you missed any of that, you can do a blitz there and prepare yourself for the 2021 NFL Draft. And we'll talk a lot more draft specifics, news and rumors starting next week as we get closer. We'll do some news and notes updates for you across the league. And we'll close with some draft talk for you there on Friday to close the week. So thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you tomorrow to close the week.